Every year, the season, the first Sunday of Lent, begins with this story. Every year, the Church puts before us the story of the temptation of Jesus as the inaugural story for the season of Lent. And I would suggest to you that the reason this is because the temptation has to do with you and me as well. The root temptation that Jesus faces is the temptation to deny his humanity. The temptation to run away from what it is to be a human being. And in many ways, that's the only temptation that you and I face as well. Jesus was hungry, but he wasn't hungry for bread. He was hungry for something else. There was something inside of him that yearned, that desired, that was restless. Just as there is something in every single human being that is fundamentally restless. And what we do, we seek all kinds of ways to satisfy that hunger. And what we learn is that no matter what we do, we still remain hungry. That hunger is part of what is built into what it is to be a human being. That hunger is that innate attachment to the Creator. That human beings are by creation restless creatures. There is no rest for us until we rest in God. And any attempt to satisfy that hunger apart from God leaves us hungry still. It's that hunger that is the gift of God. And it's also that hunger that is the most maddening part of what it is to be a human being. Now, human beings are called into union with God. And that union begins in this life and is fulfilled in the life to come. And that union with God is nurtured and nourished in what you and I know as prayer. During the season of Lent, I've asked that we all look at our life of prayer and look at ways of strengthening that life of prayer. In each one of the rows in the church, there is a yellow piece of paper that is titled Renewing My Commitment to Prayer. And what it does is it lists a whole possible variety of ways in which a person might do this. And this is not exhaustive. I mean, clearly the first way in which we come to God in prayer is what we're doing right here as we gather together on Sunday morning and we worship as a community of faith. Maybe there are those who would like to take advantage during the week, if not daily, ever so often, to gather for the celebration of the Eucharist. Every morning at 6:45, Monday through Friday, the Eucharist is celebrated here. And every early afternoon, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 12:10, the Eucharist is celebrated as well. That time, 12:10, was deliberately chosen that it might be an accommodation for people who periodically might want to use their lunch hour and to come to celebrate Mass. Every Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, we gather for morning prayer. And on Wednesday evening at 7:30 with the religious education students, there is evening prayer here in the church. There's morning prayer that takes place on Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday. You may choose, you may desire, you may want to pray with the Scriptures during the season of Lent. And I would suggest that perhaps it might be the story of the passion and death of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that you might want to read, and read slowly, and read reflectively, and read prayerfully. You may want to spend some time alone with the Lord in just meditative prayer, in quiet. The chapel here is open from 6 in the morning till 6 in the evening, and you're welcome to just come in and sit for a few minutes or as long as you want. You may want to use various helps in your prayer life. Perhaps you have a devotion to Our Lady and to the Rosary, and you want to use that on a daily or a frequent occasion. Or maybe it's the Stations of the Cross on Monday evening that speaks to you. What's important is that all of us find a regular time that we can give ourselves to prayer. For some people, they're morning people, and so morning is a good time to do that. Other people are energized in the evening, and so the evening is a good time to do that. Not only is there a need to find a time, but there's a need to find a space that works. A space that is not distracting. A space that allows one some freedom to reflect. And that's going to be different for every individual. The worst space in the world for me to pray is this room. I am a compulsive counter. And there are a bazillion bricks in the walls of this room. And if I sit, I will become very distracted very quickly counting bricks. So this doesn't work for me. It's got to be a much less distracting place. Well, whatever place works for you is good. Maybe you want to do something with your meal prayer, not only to do the Bless Us, O Lord, and These Thy Gifts thing, but to take time to mention what I'm grateful for or those for whom I wish to pray. And maybe families want to find an evening when it works for them, when they're all together and when they can do some praying together. You may want to participate in a prayer group. Every other Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, there's a prayer group that meets in the parish center, a centering prayer group. Maybe you want to do some scripture study at 9:30 on Saturday mornings during the season of Lent. There is scripture study here. Maybe you want to do some reading. Some reading of a spiritual nature. Next week in the bulletin I will list a whole variety of titles and authors that you might find helpful. And there are many, many other things that you might want to do. But what's important is that you and I focus during this season to find some ways in which we can strengthen our prayer life. Find some ways in which we can honor that hunger and not run away from it. In the middle of the 20th century, a fellow by the name of Robert Bunyan, poet, wrote a poem in which hunger speaks. I come among peoples like a shadow. I sit down by each one's side. No one sees me, and yet all know that I am there. My silence is like the silence of the tide that buries the playground of children, like the deepening of frost in the slow night when birds are dead in the morning. Armies trample, invade, destroy, with guns roaring from earth and air. I am more terrible than armies. I am more feared than the cannon. Kings and chancellors give commands. I give a command to no one. But I am listened to more than kings and more than passionate orators. I unswear words and undo deeds. I am the very first and the very last to be felt by the living being. For I am hunger. Today we give thanks to God for the hunger that God has placed within the human heart.
Give us and all Christians a deep and strong faith, which we profess not only with our lips, but which we also live in our deeds. Let us pray.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear us, Lord,
and hold us in your
mercy.
That we and all those caught up in material tasks and concerns may learn to seek other food than bread alone. Let us pray.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear us, Lord,
and hold us in your mercy.
That we and all those who work to increase their influence and power may learn to seek the Lord and adore Him alone. Let us pray.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, and hold us in your mercy.
That we and all those who are tried by temptations may remain faithful to God and answer His call to serve God and people. Let us pray.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear us, Lord,
and hold us in your mercy.
That all who are sick and suffer may find the healing and peace of Christ. We pray especially for Becky Glassing and Joanne Blakesley. Let us pray.
Cry out for God's mercy.
Hear, O Lord, and hold us in your mercy.
Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.